Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for increasing the healings out on the streets. Hallelujah. Lord, everything you do inside, you do outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I like to do a lot of scripture reading. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to start in verse 2. Starting in verse 2, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. Got to go left to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 right there. And Paul said, "Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death?" Now pay attention to verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I'm going to read that again. "Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death." So when we are saved, there is a baptism into Christ's death that has taken place. So, and when what Paul says here, "that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So the baptism into death had to take place so that we could walk in the newness of life and be raised up by the glory of the Father. Now let's turn to John chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 19. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 19. Hallelujah. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him, and the disciples plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote Him with their hands. Pilate therefore went again and said unto them, 'Behold, I bring forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in Him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, 'Behold the man.'" In verse 6, "When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw Him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify Him! Crucify Him!' Pilate said unto them, 'Take ye Him and crucify Him, for I find no fault in Him.' And the Jews answered and said, 'We have a law. By our law that He ought to die, because He made Himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, 'Where are you from?' And Jesus gave him no answer. Verse 10, "Then said Pilate unto him, 'Do you not speak unto me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and to release you?' Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all except against me, except it were given to you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin.'" Amazing. Jesus did this because He wanted to. He did this because He wanted to. Verse 12, "From henceforth Pilate sought to release Him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you can let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend.' And they continued on." Let's pick up in verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. "And He said unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him.' Pilate said unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered and said, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he Him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew called Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two others with Him, on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read 10 verses there. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. This is John's vision on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? I don't know about you, but I know that I am not close to being worthy. A strong angel proclaiming, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, this little book is talking about the seals for the end times, but it's talking about the redemption of mankind. This little book could just very well represent the Bible to you and me. It very well would represent your salvation. And I can just see a time in the history of man, an angel proclaiming, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to pay the price for the sins that David King has committed? Who is worthy to go and pay a price for him? And no man under heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to even look thereon. Neither to even look at it. In verse 5, one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Somebody say amen tonight. Jesus was worthy to open the book. I'm telling you, we were in a position where there was no hope. You may think right now that the natural circumstances that you face when you've got the Word of God in your hand is impossible and hopeless. But there was a time when we were truly without hope, when we were lost in our sins, but there is a Lamb that was willing to pay the price, Robbie. He was willing to take my sin. He was willing to take my mistakes and all of my wrongdoing. And he said, Father, send me. Send me to the cross, because I don't want to see David King die in his sins. Send me and put his sin on me. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He is worthy. Hallelujah tonight. You want to know how these people got saved, healed tonight, because he was worthy. Because every single person here that came up and got healed, Parkinson's disease and pain and all these other things that took place, Jesus hung on the cross, the worthy Lamb that was slain. Parkinson's disease was put on him. Sin was put on him. Pain was put on him. Grief was put on him. He took it all. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Jesus loves you so much that he wanted to die on the cross for you. Did you get that tonight? He loves you so much that he wanted to die on the cross for you. It was not something that Jesus was reluctant to do. He wasn't up in heaven thinking, Father, if I have to do this, I'm going to do it. It wasn't an instance of reluctant obedience for the Lord. I want you to know tonight that there was the way that I see it is like this, that Jesus is up in heaven eons of time ago with the Father, And he's saying that if you read in the book of Ephesians, it says that we were formed in Christ before the world began. So here goes David King. Here goes Troy Bravenbor. And Jesus is looking at us. And he's saying, and he's looking thousands and hundreds of thousands of years in advance. And I can just see him. This is the way that I picture it. This may not be how it happened, but this is the heart of Jesus. And he's standing there with the Father, and he's saying, Father, I see David King. He's going to be born someday, but he's going to be born a sinner, and he's going to sin. He's going to make mistakes all throughout high school. He's going to do this, and he's going to do that. I'm not going to give you my laundry list. And Jesus sees that I was going to die in my sin. He sees that I was going to be born in sin. And he's not up there getting upset because of the sin. He's not up there getting upset because of the times that I got upset and I got upset with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, why are you putting me through this? Why do I have to walk through this? And the things that I have said when I knew what I was doing was wrong. Jesus was not upset with me about that. The only thing going through Jesus' heart and mind was, Father, let me go and die on that cross, because David King someday is going to be called into the ministry, and I can take his sin, and I can take everything wrong that he's ever done. I can take the sin and the filth and the fear and the unbelief that's going to plague his life, and I can pull it out of him. Lord, Father, put his sin on me. Send me to the cross. Put his sin on me so I can save his life. Every single one of you can put your name in that situation. Jesus wanted to die for you. He was not up in heaven just dreading the day that he had to be born into this earth. He was not up in heaven thinking, Lord, so-and-so doesn't deserve this, but I'll do it just because you're making me. No. Jesus wanted to die for you. He was up in the heaven asking the Father to send him so he could take your sin so you would be saved. Jesus never regretted the cross, and he never despised it. He despised the shame, but he never despised the cross. He never regretted the cross. Jesus has never regretted, and he has never regretted or despised you, because he loves you tonight. Man, the things that we do wrong are shortcoming. He's not detoured by that. Even when he's telling us something to do and we fail to do it, we know we disobeyed the Lord. I mean, I want to get the autograph of the person who's not guilty of having done that before. When you know that the Lord wanted you to do something and you didn't do it, he's not moved by that. He's just standing right there because he loves you. All the pain, all the difficulty, all the misery, and everything that goes along with some areas of life. You know, the Bible says that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In that nighttime before joy comes, in that nighttime before your miracle comes, when things look so challenging, when things look so difficult, and you think, God, how am I ever going to make it through? Jesus is not detoured by any of that. He has taken that upon himself so that he can stand there with you. Jesus loves you so much that he wanted to die on the cross for you. Now, he didn't love the pain, he didn't love the shame, but he wanted to do this for you. He was up in heaven saying, Father, come on, I can just see him. Father, let's speed up the time clock. Let's get this job done. Lord, I want to go and I want to lay myself down. I want to go and I want to pay the price for so-and-so's sin. Because, Lord, Father, if we don't go do it, I know the path that they're going to walk on. I can see the end of their sin, and it's death, Father. Lord, Father, let me go and hang on the cross. Let me go and pay the price for that person. Let me go shed my blood for them and take their sin upon me so that they can go free. And I don't know how he does it, but every single person that has ever been born from Adam and Eve all the way down till today, Jesus has had that person on their mind. And his blood has been shed. His blood has been spilt for every single person. Hallelujah. All of the people that we reach in the outreach here in the city of Fort Worth, Texas, the precious blood of Jesus has been spilled for them. Jesus has laid his life down on the cross for that person. If they were the only person, Jesus has laid himself down for that person. I'm telling you tonight, and what God's doing in this place is not just a church growth idea. It's the gospel being preached to people that are going to make hell their home. If there's not somebody knocking on their door and saying, has anybody told you that Jesus loves you and has a good plan for your life? Jesus has paid the price. Hallelujah. The message tonight is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You're so valuable to Him that He was full of anticipation and excitement for the opportunity to redeem you. Now, the opportunity to redeem us was not Jesus going down in a Holy Ghost service and having the preacher lay hands on him, and he gets hit with the joy. And praise God, I've just redeemed my creation. I'm telling you, the opportunity Jesus had to redeem us was a cross, and it was laying on the sins of every single person. I remember when we were in Israel years ago. I mean, I'm not a sightseeing person, Pastor. I've never shared this before, but I'm not a sightseeing person. But Mark was leaning on me to go, so I obeyed. And, you know, I like to go on vacation, get in the 4x4 and go running through the mountains as fast as possible up in the Rocky Mountains. I like to get skis, and I like to go downhill as fast as possible in the snow. That's my idea of a vacation. I don't want to go sit and read. I want to get out. I mean, when I get a vacation, I got a lot of stuff to do on vacation. So I want to stay busy. Fun is serious business, so that's right, Robbie, you got me. So on the Israel trip, I'm serious, on the morning we're going, I'm like, I don't even want to do this, but it was one of the best trips, and I loved it, and I recommend to everybody to go, and I want to go back again someday. The Lord really touched my life on that trip, and I remember one thing that happened. We were standing in Jerusalem, there were some steps, some stone steps that went up a ways. I mean, it wasn't anything huge. It was maybe like from here up to the front of the balcony. It wasn't anything huge. But nevertheless, there were some stone steps, and they went up to Caiaphas's house. See, before, I didn't read this tonight, but they apprehended Jesus, and they put him in jail overnight before they tried him, because they apprehended him so late at night. So they held him at Caiaphas's house. Well, on the way to Caiaphas's house, there's no other way to get there but to go up these steps. And I remember standing there in Israel, and they blocked off the steps now from what I've heard. But these are the actual steps that Jesus walked on. I mean, these are the actual steps that God's feet touched 2,000 years ago, the night that he was apprehended, that right before he was crucified. And I'm looking at these steps. They had uncovered them. And I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. And then just like that, I got the revelation, Brother Steve, just like that. And I realized Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, but I was here 2,000 years ago. I've been through Bible school, and I've heard it taught and preached, but the Holy Ghost just quickened it to me. And I'm standing there looking at these steps, realizing I felt like I had been there. Like deja vu or something. I'm standing at these steps looking and going up to Caiaphas' house, and I begin to realize that the Lord took me, because we just read in Romans chapter 6, we are baptized into death, we experience his death through baptism into death, so that we could likewise be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So all of Jesus' death, he took us along with him. I don't know how that works, but that's what Romans 6 says. We were baptized into his death. And so I can just imagine him going up those steps. and thinking someday David's going to need, you know, X amount of money. Someday David's going to need this for his ministry and all of the needs and everything that I have in my life that I need. I can see going through his heart and his mind as he went up those steps. Can you say amen tonight? He is right there with you. And his cross has taken the punishment for everything that you will ever do wrong. His cross has taken the punishment of everything that sin or sickness could ever do in your life. The effects of any kind of a disease, everything that we saw here tonight, that was already laid on the cross. Can you say hallelujah? It was already paid for at the cross. There was a high price paid for your healing. Can you say amen tonight? There was a high price paid for us to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. There was a high price paid for us to be able to bear the gospel and tell other people about Jesus and bring them into the kingdom of God. It's not just another good idea. It's not just a plan to try to grow a church. It's the gospel that we preach because it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the anchor of our soul, the anchor of our faith. You're so valuable to him that he was full of anticipation and excitement for the opportunity to redeem you. He wants to be in the middle of your challenges so he can deliver you. He wants you to get your answer more than you do. Jesus wants you to get your deliverance. Jesus wants you to get your healing. Jesus wants you to get your breakthrough and your miracle more than you do. Hallelujah. He wants it more than you do. Jesus loves you so much that he preferred to suffer on the cross. I want you to hear this tonight. Jesus loves you so much that he preferred to suffer on the cross rather than to suffer through eternity without you. I can see Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians that we were formed, created in Christ before the foundation of the world. I can see Jesus and the Father sitting there and Jesus coming to the realization. And I know he's God. You know, before time existed, he was there. I can't even begin to understand that. But I can just imagine in my heart, in my limited ways, I can see Jesus coming to the place where he's like, you know what? Adam, we're going to create that guy and he's going to sin right off the bat. And don't anybody get mad at Adam, because if everybody was good, you'd have probably been the first one to sin. If it wasn't you, it surely would have been me. We are created in Christ before the foundation of the world. So God, rather than bringing us back to the Garden of Eden, he took us to an even higher place and created us in Christ. And I can see Jesus kind of weighing things in the balances, if you will. Where he's saying, I don't want so-and-so to die in their sin because I cannot bear to live eternity without so-and-so by my side. Did you catch what I just said right now? I mean, Robbie, there was a time eons ago before Adam and Eve were ever created when the Lord thought about you and he said, Father, I would rather die and take his sin, because as bad as the sin of mankind would be, the Bible says that he hung on the cross and he was not even recognizable as a man. He was not even recognizable as a man as he hung there on that cross. The punishment of sickness, the punishment of all evil, the punishment and the price of all sin was laid upon him on that cross. And Jesus would have rather suffered through that than to have had to say, Lord, I'll just go through all eternity without having Robbie Foster by my side. He would have rather have taken the sin and the pain and the sickness of everything that you could ever imaginably do wrong, although you're a great guy. That's why I'm picking on you tonight. Because Robbie, he just didn't want to be without you. It's not about your ministry. That's a huge thing to the Lord. But he just doesn't want to be without you. That's agape love right there. He would rather suffer because the suffering that he feels in his heart when somebody rejects him and goes to hell is so bad that I just believe if somebody rejected him and went to hell, I believe in all my heart that if there was a way for him to come and die again for every single person that goes to hell to pull them out somehow, if there was a way for him to do it, he would do it because he wants everybody. He wants everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. And it's not just a master plan that's, I want to have the biggest kingdom. No, the disciples thought Jesus was walking the earth. Some of them didn't understand when he started talking about, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise from the dead on the third day. They didn't understand what he's talking about. All they could see was a natural kingdom. This is not about a natural kingdom. This is about the kingdom of God. Jesus wasn't looking for a natural kingdom. It's not a plan in his mind to see how many numbers he can get. It's not a plan in his mind to see how glorious and, you know, all those things are important. But the number one thing is tonight, believer or non-believer, is Jesus doesn't want to go through eternity without you because he loves you so much. That's what's on his heart. And that's what's on his mind. Jesus loves you so much that he preferred to suffer the cross rather than to suffer eternity without you. You are the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2, you all know that verse. You are the joy that was set before him, so he endured the cross. His love for you is so great that you gave him joy even before you were born. I'm telling you, even before you were born, and even before you were born again, Jesus is up in heaven thinking, man, someday this individual's going to get saved. And I can't wait to see that person get saved. Man, so Kevin, someday the Lord is up in heaven thinking, someday Kevin Bigham's going to get saved. And I can't wait until Kevin gets saved because I see he's got a powerful music ministry that I'm going to use him in. And he's going to bless me and he's going to bless other people. And the Lord's full of joy because we were the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before the Lord. I'm telling you, you thrilled the Lord before you were even born. And you thrilled the Lord before you were even born again. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. We were the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. He couldn't bear the thought of risking the loss of you, so he created you in Christ. The pain in his heart at the thought of losing someone is greater than the pain of the cross. The pain in his heart at the thought of losing someone to hell is greater than the pain of the cross. And his pain is so strong because his love is so strong. I believe the Lord's doing a greater work in our hearts as a church tonight. One thing of just what this harvest is all about. The pain in his heart, if one person that we don't reach doesn't make heaven for eternity, man, that's greater than the pain of the cross that he endured. Say, David, that's heavy preaching, but man, Jesus Christ and him crucified, we need more of that kind of preaching today. Now, on the thought of that, never neglect to get somebody in the kingdom, even if you can't disciple them. Better to go to heaven missing an eye than to go to hell seeing. Never neglect to give somebody the gospel just because you can't disciple them. Man, get them in the door, praise God. How would you like to be the one walking the street and a ministry is coming and getting everybody saved, but they can only disciple 500 people, and you are the 501st person that day, but they looked, oh, we just hit 500, you know what? We can't disciple anymore. Sorry. And you just watch them take off and go the other direction. And then you die in your sin and make hell your home for eternity because they neglected to tell you about Jesus. I know that's not necessarily an exciting thought, but this reality for some people. Never neglect to tell somebody to get somebody into the kingdom, even if you can't disciple them. Now, discipleship is very important. Make every effort to disciple people, but don't neglect to give them the gospel just because we can't disciple them. We should never make the salvation decision on behalf of somebody else. Hear me tonight. We should never make the salvation decision on behalf of somebody else. In other words, we should never look at somebody and say, I'm not going to go witness to them because we can't get them in church. I'm not going to go preach the gospel to them because the salvation decision should be a great emotional decision that people need to be walked through. You know, and I just don't believe that you can pray the prayer of salvation and that's all you need. Buddy, I'm telling you tonight that Paul, when he was Saul on the road to Damascus, all he said was, Lord, and he was radically saved that day. Man, Jesus has paid a high price for the souls. Jesus has paid a high price for the lost. And we should never neglect to give people the gospel for any reason when there's an opportunity to do it. It's amazing the things that I hear. Reasons why we shouldn't do crusades. Reasons why, you know, people speak against this, speak against that. You know what? Everybody evangelize the way that you do. Don't shoot down somebody else's method of evangelism. I'm just deviating a little bit. But man, the devil has got an agenda, and one of his agendas is to divide the Spirit-filled church along the lines of evangelism. And we need to walk in unity. We've had 20,000 people saved. That doesn't mean, you know, somebody's going to get cocky and go out and say, you know, y'all aren't doing evangelism, right? I rebuke you because, you know, that's not what it's all about. We need to walk in unity and love and serve one another. The greatest is going to serve one another and not shoot somebody else's ministry down. Because Jesus has paid a high price for this gospel. Hallelujah. Jesus wants them in the door to the kingdom. He's making every effort to get people in the kingdom of God, not out. He is making every effort to get people into the kingdom of God. He's not trying to get them out. He's not looking at somebody and saying, oh, you sinned, you're out. Nuh-uh. Jesus is making every effort to get people into the kingdom of God. He's not moved by sin like people are. Now, he's paid the price for sin. The wages of sin is still death, but he's not moved by sin. I believe that there may have been people, 10, 20, 30, 1,000, 10,000 people over the years in this city that we have led to Jesus out on the streets. Somebody born and raised in a drug atmosphere, has no family, no church home, but somebody came and witnessed to them and they prayed the prayer of salvation. How many people would look at that and say, that's just not good enough, but that person prayed the prayer of salvation. They may never darken the door of another church again the rest of their life, but Jesus is trying to get that guy into the kingdom of God. And how many people have probably already passed over into eternity and made heaven their home simply because somebody went out and brought them the gospel and was more concerned about numbers in heaven than they are numbers in their own ministry. Can you say amen tonight? Now, numbers in a ministry are important. I'm not shooting that down. But the most important is numbers in heaven. Christian success is numbers in heaven. And there are people, the only thing they ever did right in their life was pray the prayer of salvation with somebody from Calvary Cathedral or Brother Rodney's ministry coming through town. The only thing they ever did right in their life was pray that prayer. But Jesus was rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's saying, oh, my blood was not spilt in vain for that person because somebody brought them the gospel. Hallelujah. Jesus is up in heaven, jumping up and down and rejoicing with joy. He's saying, that drug dealer, that druggie, that pothead was the joy set before me, and they are saved and coming into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus wants them in the door to the kingdom. He's making every effort to get people in. Jesus' issue with sin is not trying to find somebody that's in sin and reject them. It's not what Jesus' issue with sin is. He's not trying to find somebody in sin so he can rebuke them or reject them. It is that sin that makes people let go of his blood and they reject Jesus. I just want to talk about this for a minute because holiness is important. People nowadays don't want anybody, any preacher, to talk about holiness. But holiness is important. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink, which is anything that's fermented, is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And I don't know how much more plain the Bible can get about drinking alcohol. And I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but just it's important to live a holy life. If wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and if you're deceived thereby by drinking and getting into that and going bar hopping, then you need to change your life. And Jesus is not mad at you because of that, because he's like, "I want everything to be holy around me, and you just make me mad because you're sin." No, Jesus, his problem with the sin is not that he's mad at you because of the sin. His problem with the sin is that he knows that people will get hooked by that alcohol. And then they're going to, "I want something more." I've seen it happen time and time again with friends going up in high school. Then they start doing a little bit of weed, the entry-level drug. And then that's not enough. And then they want to go into the bigger drugs. And before you know it, somebody has literally died in their sin. The wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus' issue with sin is not that he's mad at you because of sin. His issue with sin is he hates the sin because he knows if that gets a hook in your life and in your soul, that it will pull you away from him. In John 3, you can read where Jesus said this. People love the darkness better than the light because their deeds are evil. I'm telling you, you can stand up and just say Jesus in a public atmosphere. And so if somebody just gets mad, they can't stand you. Been out witnessing, Troy, I know this has happened to you. It's happened to me. And somebody just hates you for no reason. You know, but it's the light of the gospel that's shining because there's sin in their life. And they love the darkness because their deeds are evil and they want to keep their sin. Jesus' issue with sin is he does not want sin in the church. He doesn't want sin out in the world because it hooks people's heart. It hooks people's soul. Drinking, it's not going to send you to hell. It's really not the issue. But if the Bible says it's a mockery and you're deceived, then what's happened is it's getting a hold of your heart. And it can lead you away from the Lord. And I hope I've presented this tonight in a way where you see the heart of Jesus, that he just wants to be with you. Man, when sin gets in your life and you start to step away from the Lord, it just breaks his heart. When we don't obey what he's telling us to do, it just breaks his heart. Because he loves us. Jesus loves you so much that sin and hardness of heart aren't the main thing. You are the main thing. Man, he's not the sin. He's more concerned about you. His love for you has forgiven all the wrongdoing. And the last point I'm going to make tonight, he is the all-sufficient one. He paid it all on the cross. Man, for Parkinson's disease, he paid that on the cross. Can you say hallelujah tonight? He is the all-sufficient one. I want you to know tonight that even on the way to your breakthrough, that he is sufficient for you even before your breakthrough comes. You think, "This is unbearable, God. I can't make another step. I can't go another day living my life like this." But even before your breakthrough comes that you can't live without, somehow he is still all-sufficient for what you need. You may be believing God for your family to get saved, for finances so you don't lose your house. I don't know what your situation is, but he is the all-sufficient one. He has paid the price on the cross. And man, the price that was paid for you was a heavy price. Because he loves you so much, there is nothing that he has left out. There is nothing that Jesus has overlooked. He is all-sufficient for you. He is all sufficient to meet your healing need. He is all sufficient to meet your emotional need tonight. There is nothing that he has left out, praise God. There is nothing that he overlooked. Man, the emotional need that you have, he is all sufficient. Glory to God. There is nothing you need that isn't already in him. He is your healing. He is your provision, even on the road to breakthrough. On the way to seeing full manifestation of faith, he is your sufficiency. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. If we get some music here. Why don't you stand up on your feet? You've been a great audience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's just hang tight for just a moment here. Please, nobody moving around. If you're in this place right now, you say, David, I've never surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never given my life over to him. I know that he's paid a price for me. But if you were to die right now, if you don't know for sure that you would make heaven your home, tonight is your night. The Lord is speaking to your heart right now, and it's time to make a change in your life. It's time to make that move towards the cross. It's time to make that move to Jesus right now, if you don't know for sure. And there's a second category of person that I want to pray for tonight. You're here in this place and you know that you're going to heaven. But you know that your heart is lukewarm before the Lord. You know that there is something between you and Jesus. You know you're going to heaven, but there is something between you and the Lord that's not right. Maybe it's just hardness of heart. Maybe it's sin. But there is something between you and Jesus tonight, and you know that you need to get it right. Hallelujah. Tonight is the night the Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Hallelujah. And I want to ask to pray for those two categories of people in just a moment. But the Lord is speaking to you right now. Don't hesitate. Don't look the other way. God wants to touch your life and change your heart right now. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for touching people right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's you tonight, you know that you're not going to make heaven and you need to give your life to Jesus, or you're that second category of person and you know that your heart is lukewarm before the Lord. It's not burning on fire, and there's a sin, there's hardness of heart between you and Jesus, and you've been pushing the things of God away, and the Lord's been knocking on your heart and you've been pushing him away. I want to pray with you tonight. So raise your hand right now and wave it at me so that I can see it. I can pray with you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that hand going up. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody else, the Lord's speaking to your heart. It's time to come to him. It's time to get it right. Praise you, Jesus. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you for that hand. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Hallelujah. The Lord wants you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, he says he'll spew you out of his mouth. It's time to get your life hot tonight for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else, if you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now. Thank you, Jesus. If you raise your hand, I want you to come down here to the front, meet with me, and I want to pray with you. But if there's anybody else, you didn't raise your hand yet, I want you to step out of your seat and come down here. Hallelujah. I'll give these people a hand clap tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless you tonight. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else tonight, you know the Lord's speaking to you, come down here right now. Hallelujah. 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 Glenn, could y'all do that song that y'all did for Pastor a little while ago? There's just an awesome anointing on that. Once we finish praying here, if y'all, hallelujah, get ready. If there's anybody else here tonight, just give you one more opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you up here, just raise your hands right now. I want you to pray this prayer after me and mean it with your heart. Those of you out there, if you could pray with us and stretch your hand towards these people. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for all these people up here. Just say this out loud with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Just say that out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I believe that you died on the cross for me, and that you rose from the dead. And I repent for sin and hardness of heart. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Let me never be the same. Change my life, Lord Jesus. Give me a holy boldness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Why don't you up here just take some time with the Lord before we pray with you right now. Just take some time to talk to the Lord right now. Recommit your heart and recommit your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Steve, would you be able to go pray with these? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all so much. This is the best decision you've ever made. God's got good plans for you. Amen. Why don't you turn this way and go with Brother Steve tonight? Y'all give him a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't y'all give a hand clap for Pastor Bob Nichols as he comes up this evening?